Positive Chaz Podcast. It is Chris alongside with you. It is Wednesday, May 25th, and along with us, Robert Morgan, the teaching pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. And gosh, you know what? You've been busy. You've been serving there for over 40 years, and you're a best-selling Gold Illuminations and Gold Medallion winning writer. So that by itself sounds awesome. Sounds very Olympic. I like that. That's cool, Robert.
Well, I don't feel too Olympian this morning. I've got this long COVID fatigue that I'm battling, but yes, it's good to talk to you, Chris.
Well, you know what? Thank you for spending a few minutes with us. I know that, you know, after finding out, I didn't even know you were dealing with post-COVID fatigue.
It's very frustrating, but, you know, the Lord gives strength.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, you know what? The good news is that if you can survive like another 20 minutes, you can go back and take a nap. So you only got 20 minutes. We'll keep track of the countdown. I got a little timer over here. We'll keep an eye on it for you, Robert.
Well, I'm doing fine, and it's wonderful to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for spending a few minutes with us. So you wrote the book. This is really intriguing because the book is called The 50 Final Events in World History. And it's basically the Bible's take on the Earth's final days. And gosh, Robert, I mean, where do you begin on a project like this? How did you... You're pastoring for 40 years in Nashville, and suddenly you decide to wake up and write a book about Revelation.
Yes, this book is about the final book in the Bible. I've been studying it for 50 years. I think that I can explain it simply enough so that a middle schooler can understand it. And I think we all need to understand the book of Revelation. All of the other books of the Bible, all 65 of them, lead to Revelation. And all 22 chapters of Revelation lead to heaven. And it just tells us the events that are going to take place immediately preceding the return of Christ. And it's a very exciting, hopeful book. I mean, it ends with a travelogue of our eternal home. And so I just want to have a burden that people not be afraid of Revelation, but dig in and study it and find the blessings that are there.
So I want to take the role of the dumb guy. That's the easy role to play, because sometimes you sit down, you read the book of Revelation, it feels like sitting down and trying to learn algebra, you know, and it's almost like you're almost nervous for it. Is it easy? Can someone understand and go through the book of Revelation and know exactly what it is?
Yes, I'll take you through it right now. Chapter 1 is introduction. It gives us the prologue and a wonderful initial vision of what Jesus Christ is and what he's doing right now. Chapters 2 and 3 are small messages to each of the seven churches who were the original recipients of the book of Revelation. From chapter 4 through 22, all of that has to deal with the future. And chapters 4 through 18 tell us the events of the 7 years of tribulation. And it gives them to us one after another. This is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. And it's increasing judgment on earth because evil has got to be dealt with. And then in chapter 19, Jesus comes again. He sets up his kingdom in chapter 20, and he takes us to his eternal city of New Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth, in chapters 21 and 22. And so the structure of the book of Revelation is one of the clearest of any books in the Bible. It's very easy. I outline it in this book, The 50 Final Events. And once you understand that, then you've got like the outside parameters of the puzzle. And you just go through the book and fill in the other pieces.
Interesting. So I guess the next question I would have is that, because I already asked you already, how you decided to write this book. John wrote the book of Revelation. What was going on with John? Why did he write Revelation?
Well, John was the last surviving apostle. He was serving in the city of Ephesus, which was the leading city among the churches in the eastern half of the Roman Empire. He was probably 85 or so years old. He was a very prominent, of course, figure as the last of the apostles, and the Romans wanted to silence him, but they didn't want to make him a martyr, and so they took him across the Aegean a few miles to an island. It was a beautiful island, Patmos, and they just banished him there so that his voice couldn't be heard and he couldn't continue his ministry. But, you know, so often what seems to be a negative in our lives turns out to be a positive. That really turned out to be God's way of getting John's attention long enough to give him the contents that would finish out the Bible and bring the whole Word of God full circle. I mean, the Revelation ties up all the loose ends, brings the entire story of the Bible to a fitting conclusion, and is the only possible way the Bible could have been ended. And so John received that information. He wrote it down. When he was reunited with his church, he began distributing it. And people have been studying it for 2,000 years ever since then, because it tells us what's going to happen to us and to this world in the last days, and what's going to happen to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. And, you know, my wife is in heaven. So when I read the last two chapters of the Bible, they are very real to me, and I can visualize them, I can see them, I take them literally. And the book of Revelation gives us a tremendous hope and anticipation.
Robert, I'm sorry to hear about your wife. That can't be easy.
Yes, she passed away 2 years ago from complications of multiple sclerosis. But it was all in the Lord's timing, and I rejoice that that she beat me to heaven, and I miss her and can't wait to see her. Chris, without the book of Revelation and the other scriptures that led up to it, we would be in despair as we went through life. It's this final book of the Bible that sort of serves as the capstone to all of our hope.
You know, what's interesting is you just mentioned your wife as an example. It feels like if for those who get to the book of the Bible and they stop, you know, they get to Revelation, the first page, you're like, nope, you know, and they kind of close. A lot of us could kind of view Revelation as being almost like a dangerous. We don't want to know because we're concerned, or because anxiety comes up, or because there's fear, or because of this, that. It sounds like the approach you're taking is really refreshing, because you're viewing the book of Revelation like a blessing.
Well, yes. So all the way through the book of Revelation, the scene changes from earth to heaven, to earth to heaven, to earth to heaven. I track this all the way through the book in the 50 final events. It's like you're watching or you're listening to a football game, and you've got the play-by-play announcer, and then you've got the analyst or the color commentator telling you what it means. And then you go back and you see what's happening on the field, and then you've got the analyst telling you what it means. Well, on earth, there are a series of disasters. There's 21 primary disasters, and they are delineated by the breaking of seven seals on a scroll, the blowing of seven trumpets, and the pouring out of seven bowls of wrath. These things are horrendous. But then you get heaven's commentary. What is really happening is that God is judging evil, the kind of evil that kills people in school classrooms, the kind of evil that invades and terrorizes a nation, the kind of evil that tortures people. God is bringing to culmination the judgment of evil in the world. During this time, people are being driven by the multitudes to Jesus Christ, and by the time we get to the end of the book, evil is gone. No more suffering, no more evil, no more of the atrocities that we see, and God's children are safe and protected and living eternally. So there are some scenes of judgment on earth, these various disasters, and by the way, they're more plausible now. You can read Revelation and say, well, I can see how that can happen. I see it every day in the newspapers. It's developing. But those very disasters are dealing with evil, and God's people all the way through are blessed and protected. Whatever happens to them, they are blessed and protected. So, you know, something would be wrong if we had a Bible and it did not end with dealing with the hurt and the suffering and the evil that is in the world. So I view everything in Revelation as God's way of positively working to bring about his kingdom.
That makes sense. It's almost like sitting down and turning on a television show where you've got to have judgment at the end of the show for all the goofy that happened leading up to.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. The evil forces have got to be defeated in the end. And that we feel that in our human nature. We feel that from some kind of moral authority that's in the universe, but we see it actually occur in real time in the book of Revelation.
We're on with Robert J. Morgan. He is the teaching pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee, 40-year pastor. So you've been doing this for a long time, and so you're very skilled, and you have a deep understanding and a deep knowledge. So, Robert, I guess the next question would be, so the past several years, especially, I'll use New Year's Eve for an example. So we're watching TV, the ball is getting ready to drop, and everyone's like, whew, glad that year's over. You know, it feels like the past several years has been like, man, I'm glad, you know, 2020 is over with. I'm glad because of COVID. I'm glad 2021 is over with because we're still dealing with COVID. Now we have monkeypox. Yesterday we had a massacre in an elementary school. Robert, what does all of this mean? You mentioned a second ago about heaven's commentary. What is going on?
Well, Jesus said that all of these things are birth pains. You know, when we had three daughters, and when my wife went into labor, there were contractions, and that's what birth pains are, is contractions. And so those contractions became closer together and more severe leading up to the birth of the child. And Jesus said that's the way history is going to be. These negative things that the devil is trying to do in the world are going to be increasingly frequent and increasingly severe, but it's all leading up to a glorious outcome, which is the return of Jesus Christ. And so I think we're seeing that, Chris, in the world today. You know, the 2020s, we think of 2020 as perfect vision. But the 2020s have not been good in this world, and I wish I could say things were going to get better, and they may get a little better here and a little better there, but the overall progression of history is going to come to a climax that will be a perfect fulfillment of what the book of Revelation says. So I think it's more difficult for us if we don't know Revelation to figure out the headlines today. You know, we used to say that we should read the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, and people don't read newspapers anymore. But we should look at the headlines and then look at the Bible, and it helps us to understand that things are not out of control, that God has a plan, that the contractions, as they become more severe and closer together, are simply an indication that Jesus is coming back probably sooner than we realize.
Sooner than we realize. I wondered about that. I bear with me, Robert, if this question feels a little bit odd. There's so much, and you want to phrase things and articulate it just right. Sometimes it can be a little bit bigger than what you can express. So Revelation, a lot of us, we think about the number seven, we think about the Antichrist, we think about, you know, seven-headed beasts and scorpion dragons and just all that stuff, all of that stuff. What does all of it mean?
Well, Chris, we need to take the book of Revelation literally unless there are clear symbols. The book of Revelation is a book to be taken literally unless there are clear symbols, and usually those symbols are interpreted to us. So you referred to the dragon that shows up. That's in chapter 12 of Revelation. But the writer clearly says the dragon represents that old serpent, Satan, the devil. So it is interpreted to us. So we know, oh, this is the devil. He's showing up here. So it's amazing how the various, and the beast that comes up out of the sea, that is clearly the Antichrist. So, you know, Chris, when the president comes out to make a statement, he is literal, but he is overlaid with symbolism. So he's standing behind a podium that has the seal of the president. He's got the flags behind him. He's got a pin on his suit and his lapel. He has these symbolic things all around him. And that's the way Revelation is. It is literal, but with symbolic overlays. Mm. So I tell people, don't get too distracted by the symbols. See what they mean. And the dragon is the devil. And the golden candlesticks, it says this represents the church. And and the Antichrist. He's represented here as the beast out of the sea. But much of the book of Revelation is literal. I think when it says that there's going to be a pestilence, I think when it says there's going to be a firestorm, I think when it says the waters will be contaminated at different phases along the way, and I think especially when it says God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth, and the city of New Jerusalem will be on it, these are literal. So my rule, not just for Revelation, but for all of the Bible, is to take everything literally unless it is obviously a symbol, and then look to see how the symbol is interpreted. So when you do that, then it greatly simplifies the book. It doesn't lose any of its marvel, but it loses some of its mystery.
And how does Israel fit? We all hear about Israel being God's chosen land. How does that fit?
I think that Israel was God's channel of redemption to bring into existence the Savior. The Savior brought into existence the church that is taking the gospel to the world. But during the tribulation, Israel, to our surprise, is back in the forefront of the history of the last days. And we see that all the way through the book of Revelation. But we also see it when we read the prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Zechariah. The Bible says that the events of the last day are going to be tied up with the nation of Israel, the literal nation of Israel. And by golly, in 1948, after 2,000 years of non-existence, what shows up in the Middle East, right in its ancient land, speaking its ancient language, almost miraculously, the nation of Israel. So I think the rebirth of the modern state of Israel in 1948 was a real trigger point for the timetable of biblical prophecy. I don't have dates to give you. I'm not going to speculate on dates or times. The Bible tells us not to do that. But the fact that in the Bible it says that the devil is going to seek to destroy Israel, and then Israel didn't even exist for 2,000 years. And now Israel is right where she always had been, and she has an adversary to the east developing nuclear weapons, saying we're going to wipe her off the face of the earth. I mean, that's either the greatest coincidence in history, or it is the unfolding in God's timing of biblical prophecy.
Yeah, yeah. Robert, there is so much in this. The book of Revelation, it's page after page after page. It's hard to cover so many questions inside of 20 minutes. It's hard. It's hard to do. So hard to
That's
do.
That's why we have a book, Chris.
Yeah.
The 50 final events in world history breaks it down. I've got charts. I've got graphs. The structure of the book is meant to be very simple, and in the appendix, I've got a little section on explaining the book of Revelation on a napkin.
Yeah,
I think that...
what a great description.
I think you can take somebody out for coffee. They'll say, I'm confused about the book of Revelation, and just on a napkin in 5 or 10 minutes, you can give them the structure that will help them have an orientation to study it. Am I right about every detail? Probably not. But I do feel like that my general approach in this book is the most simple way of understanding the book of Revelation. And I have a burden that people not be intimidated by the last great book of the Bible.
Yeah, yeah. The same way as we mentioned earlier about algebra can be intimidating, calculus can be intimidating. Some of us, it's just, you approach something, you just don't think you're going to get it. And Robert, you're pretty much saying is that, you know what, if you read it a certain way, if you view it just right, it's not what you say, but how you say it. And if you read it just right and view it this way, you might have a chance of understanding it.
I'm certain. There is a blessing connected with studying Revelation. It's in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed are the ones who read this book aloud, who study it, who take to heart what is written in it, because the days are near. So God promises to bless us. And Chris, the name of this book is not obscurity or confusion. It is revelation. It is revealing. God wants to reveal things to us. And if we just take things as they're written, in a linear way, one event after another, and take them literally unless there are symbols there. And if there are symbols, we look for the interpretation, what they mean. We don't try to interpret every tiny little detail, but we get the understanding of the flow of the material, and we realize it all ends in heaven, then this book will be a blessing to people. Revelation is intended to bless us.
That's the first key. Revelation that is intended to be a blessing and not something to frighten or concern. Robert J. Morgan, the book is called The 50 Final Events in World History. It's the Bible's last words on Earth's final days. Where do we get it?
Well, you can get it wherever books are sold or at my website, which is robertjmorgan.com.
There you go. All right. Robert, it was great chatting with you this morning. So I'm going to ask you, because it's been 20 minutes, and you mentioned earlier having that COVID fatigue. How do you feel? You ready for a nap? You survived.
Well,
you made it.
I feel energized now. Talking to you has has been a tonic for me, Chris.
There you go. We'll take that. Robert, it was great meeting you this morning. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes. And again, the book is called the 50 Final Events in World History. And upshot is from Robert J. Morgan. You can go to Amazon. You can also go to his website, robertjmorgan.com.
Thank you, my friend.